It will destroy thousands of acres of forest. It will kill countless animals, and it will destroy property and even take human lives. It's no incidence or no coincidence that James uses this analogy to compare to the tongue, to the destructive force of the tongue.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us as we continue our series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate, with the first half of part two, Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires. So please open your Bible to the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires.
Scripture theme written at the top, and it's from the New Living Translation, and we're actually going to get into this passage in James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, but let's look at the notes and the scripture that is printed there for you from the New Living Translation, and it says this, So also, the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the title of our message is today, Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires. Only you can prevent forest fires. James in chapter 3 and verse 5 is calling our attention to the destructive power of the tongue. He says that even though the tongue is a small member in our bodies, that is like a fire in the forest, and that fire is burning out of control. Now think about a forest fire for a minute. The smallest match, the smallest light can set a whole forest on fire. It will destroy thousands of acres of forest. It will kill countless animals, and it will destroy property and even take human lives. It's no incidence or no coincidence that James uses this analogy to compare to the tongue, to the destructive force of the tongue. In October of 1871, about 8:30 in the evening, a lantern in Miss O'Leary's barn was kicked over by one of her cows. As a result of this, the Great Fire of Chicago was started. Before it was contained, 17,500 buildings were destroyed. 300 people died, and 125,000 were left homeless, all a result of a cow kicking over a lantern. In 1903, a pan of rice boiled over into a fire, spreading coals across the room and starting a blaze that burned out of control in a Korean city. And it destroyed everything in its path for a square mile. I believe that James is trying to let us know something today. James is trying to let us know the destructive power of the tongue. Smokey the Bear said, only you can prevent forest fires. Now, as you think about that, somebody, one of the campaigns said that the deadliest animal in the forest, you know who that is? Man. Wasn't a bear, wasn't any ferocious beast. The deadliest animal in the forest is man. And so when you think about that, and you think about the destruction that man can cause in the forest, think about the destruction that can be caused by the power of the tongue. The writer of Proverbs says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. That you can build somebody up, build their life up, give them encouragement by the words that you speak, or you can absolutely destroy them by what you say. Norman Wright says our words are like high-speed bullets that when you pull the trigger on a gun, once it fires out of the barrel, that there's nothing you can do to grab it back. And sometimes, you know, I wish that we had what they call in the radio station, delay buttons. There's a program I like to watch every evening. It's called the Nightly Sports Show, where they call in and talk about the sports events of the day. And one of the things that they have right there is a delay. And a lot of times when people are talking, and if they're trying to listen and talk at the same time, what do they tell them? You need to turn your radio down. You can't talk to me and listen at the same time. You need to turn your radio down. The reason being because what you're saying and what you're hearing is two different things. There's a delay there. And the reason for the delay is in case some knucklehead calls in and says something stupid, says, you know, uses some profanity or says something, you know, absolutely ridiculous and derogatory. So what they have is this delay button. So when that person, if they start going off on the phone, they hit that button and what they say is absolutely muted out. Sometimes in our lives, we need those delay buttons. You know, I believe that there's a lot of people that if they had a 5-second delay in what they said, they might try to, you know, change it up a little bit, or they might bring it back and fix it up and clean it up a little bit, because we realize that it's destructive. You know, there was a story of this guy who had a hard time hearing, and he had a hearing aid. And his family had been on him for the longest time to go, get this hearing aid fixed because, you know, he wasn't able to hear. He could hardly hear anything. So they were on him, but he needed to go get a new one, get it fixed and everything. So finally he went. And after about a month, he went back to the doctor. And the doctor says, well, how does your family like your new hearing aid? He said, they don't know that I got a new one. He said, and I just want to let you know, as a result of listening to their conversations, I've changed my will 3 times. So sometimes you got to be careful what you say. And here in verse 5, James is using this metaphor to let us know that the tongue can do a lot of damage. You know what? Somebody made this statement. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's the biggest lie that anybody ever told. Because you know what? You can heal up from the sticks and stones that you've been hit with. You can heal from that. But I know some people that they still haven't healed from some words that were shot at their heart and wounded them to the utmost degree. And so that's a lie. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can do a lot more. Words can do a lot more damage. As a matter of fact, there are still people who are suffering as a result of something that was said to them. And maybe you are sitting here today and you are suffering because somebody said something to you that just hit you in your spirit, that just wounded you, and you haven't got over that thing until today. You can see the power of the tongue. And you need to remember this, that words, that James compares words to fire. And there's a couple things that we can see about fire, that fire cannot be controlled, neither can it be reversed. You can't reverse a fire. You can't control a fire once it gets out of hand. You think about water and fire. That if you spill water or if a flood takes place, the only damage that's going to be done by the water is the water that goes out and where it spreads. It's not going to do any more damage than the water can go out and the water can spread. But you take a small spark of fire, just a spark, and that fire will consume everything that it comes in contact with. And it will grow bigger and it will get larger. And it will do destructive damage. And so James lets us know that the tongue is like a fire. And the tongue is also a reflection of the heart. Your lips, your tongue expresses what's in your heart. Somebody said this: harsh words reflect an angry heart. Negative words reflect a fearful heart. Critical words reflect the impure heart. Critical words reflect the bitter heart. Filthy words reflect the impure heart. Arrogant words reflect an insecure heart. Untrue words reflect a dishonest heart. On the other side, a singing tongue reflects and reveals a happy heart. Gentle words reveal a tender heart. Truthful words reveal an honest heart. And kind words reveal a loving heart. See, your tongue reveals who you are inside. Have you ever wondered why God gave us two ears and one tongue? He's trying to get us to listen more than speak. Have you ever wondered why God put your tongue in a cage and doused it in water? And have you ever wondered why the tongue is no less than 6 inches from the brain? See, there's a message in that. Because God realized the destructive force, the destructive power of the tongue. In our passage today, in James chapter 3, in your notes we get the context of the passage. There were many novices who were coming into the church to teach, and they did not know what they were talking about. Also, there were others who were spreading heresies among believers. James warns them that using their tongues to speak about these things would bring a greater judgment upon them. He uses this as a springboard to launch off into a discourse on the tongue. So James uses this problem that they were having in the church to launch a discourse that deals with the tongue. The first point that we see is the possession of the tongue, is that you have to possess your tongue. You have to take control of your tongue. Verse 1, my brother, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater judgment. For if in many things we all stumble, if a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. James says here that when you stand up to teach the word of God, you need to know what you're talking about. Just don't stand up and try to say anything, because you're going to have to give an account for what you say. Now, in this first verse, James is primarily talking to teachers, but the thing that I want to say, that it goes beyond teachers to the fact that each one of us will have to give an account of the words that we speak. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, it says this, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. You're going to have to give an account for every idle word that you speak. Somebody will say, well, what are some idle words? Turn on the back of your notes. What are some ways that we can sin with our tongue? Ways that we can sin with our tongue. Lying. You know, God hates a liar. You know, it don't say that God, there's a whole lot of things that God hates. But one thing that God hates is a liar. Gossiping. Exaggeration. Speaking harshly to others. Being critical. Boasting. Hypocritical speaking. Foul language. Sowing discord. Arguing. And evil speaking. These are ways that people sin with their tongue. And so we need to be aware of this, because in that day when we stand before God, we're going to have to give an account. Now thank God for Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So, you know, we do have grace. But I believe that if our idle words have in the body, that once we became a Christian, and you know, the sad thing is that a lot of times in the body of Christ, you know, folk are killing other people with their words. I'm not talking about in the bar. I'm not talking about in the sports arena. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. Folk are killing each other with the words. And I believe that even though you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, that when you stand before the Lord, you'll be saved and you'll be in heaven. But I believe that if you have offended somebody with your words, that you have to answer to God for that. You know, once again, you're going to be saved. There's going to be great rejoicing. There's going to be happiness because you're in glory. But if somebody was wounded and offended and hurt because of what you said, you're going to stand before God and give an account. That's why we need to be careful, and we need to choose our words, and we need to express those things in a way that God would be pleased. Look at the notes on the back again. I'm jumping around here, but I'm going to get into the message today. How can you edify with the tongue? What are some ways that you can edify with the tongue? By teaching righteousness, speaking the truth in love. See, the Bible never said that you shouldn't speak the truth. It says that you should do it in love. And there's a way that you can speak the truth in love. There's a way that you can communicate to somebody something. Now, they might not always receive it in the way that it should be received, but there's a way that you can communicate it in love. If you come to a person, you know, out of a heart of love and concern, and, you know, they see the brokenness in your heart, and they see the pain in your spirit as you come to be able to share that. But see, sometimes, you know, people just look for opportunities to kill somebody else, to shoot somebody else with their words, and they don't care. They just want to be a Rambo, you know, just come in there with their gun and just wipe somebody out. That's not the way to do that. God says when you got to deal with the truth, deal with it in love. Deal with it in a way that is going to leave that person with some worth, with some self-esteem, that when you get done, and more than anything else, that's going to show them that you're in this thing with them and that you want to help them work their way through it so that we can all come out of this thing as winners. You know, when I kill you with my words, we both lose. We both lose. I might think I won. You know, I tell, you know, people that are married, I say when they get into an argument, if you get into marriage and you get in an argument and your sole purpose in the argument is to win the argument, then you know what? Both of y'all lost. At that point, you both lost. Because nobody walks away a winner. But when you come into this thing and you say, what's the best thing for our relationship? What's the best thing for our marriage? Then you begin to constructively work at things and try to come to some solutions. So you have to deal with the truth, but you deal with it in love. Speak pleasant words. Build up others. Speak words of comfort and encouragement. And then as you deal with your words and you discern your words, think. Think, first of all, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? That you know, if we would just build this pattern into our lives of checking our speech, of checking our tongue, I believe that there'll be a whole less issues in the world today. Think. You ought to take this right here, that think, and maybe put it in your pocket planner. So every day you're looking at it. You ought to write it in your day planner. Put it on your refrigerator. You know, what did the people in the Old Testament do? They had these things called phylacteries. And they put it on their foreheads or on their hands where they could all the time look at it. See, that's what some folk need to do. Because they are going around and they are just killing people with their words. And God is not pleased with that. And God, that give us all a more sensitive spirit, you know, in this area of dealing with the tongue. Back to James chapter 1. The possession of the tongue. The believer must take possession of the tongue because he will give an account of it. So you're going to give an account of your words one day. Secondly, the believer must take possession of the tongue because, look at this, it demonstrates self-discipline. Look what he says in verse 2. For in many things we all stumble. He says there's a whole lot of things that we can trip over. And the tongue is one of them. If any man offend not in word. So what does that mean? If you've taken control of your tongue and you don't offend in word, the same is a perfect. And that word perfect actually can mean mature. The same is a perfect man and able to bridle his whole body. You know what he's saying here? He's saying that if you can control your tongue, you know what? You can control everything else about you. As a matter of fact, and I was thinking about this, that a person who can't control their tongue, you know what the chances are? That they're probably having struggles in some other areas. If you can't control your tongue, it's probably a good indication that you are having some discipline problems in some other areas. James says here that if you can control your tongue, that if you can harness it, if you can bring it together, if you can take control of the tongue, woo, then you probably can take control of everything else in your life. That's the most difficult thing. That's the hardest thing to deal with. And once you learn that, once you deal with that, then everything else should be a piece of cake. I'm not saying it will be, but it should be a piece of cake. Possession of the tongue. The second thing we see is the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. Look what he says in verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, and they obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they are so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about by a very small helm wherever the pilot wills. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is like a horse. You place bits in the horse's mouth. I was doing some reading on bits to try to get a little more understanding, and I found out that there's such a thing. You know, we got all kind of abuse today, but there's such a thing as bit abuse. I said, wow, this is heavy here. But what bit abuse is when, you know, you take the bit and maybe you didn't measure it for the horse's mouth, and it presses on his tongue, or it jams up into the teeth or the palate, or it starts to cut into the jaws. And so as a result of that, the horse can get some infection and get sick, and even worse things can happen. So they got this whole thing out dealing with bit abuse. And the reason that they do that is because if the bit is placed comfortably in the horse's mouth, then it will control the horse. And any of you that ever have ridden on a horse before, it's amazing. I shared with you my experience in New Mexico when I was riding on this horse. Mr. T was the name of the horse. Big horse. Man, this was a big horse. And I guess, you know, I was the biggest guy there, so they gave me the biggest horse. But, you know, I got up on this thing, man. Now, the only other time I rode a horse was in, you know, remember in Kennywood, they used to have them horses that they walked around? That's the only other time I rode a horse. But I got on this horse, and it was amazing that if you just pulled on the rein just a little bit, that the horse's head go like that. If you let go, then it straighten back up again. And if you start coming to sharp turn and you pull a little bit harder, and it's just amazing how that you can control that horse, this big, massive animal with all these muscles just rippling throughout the body. And you can control that big horse.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires, or program number 060122. That's 877-831-5060 and request Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires, or program number 060122. Today's teaching was part two of our 9-part series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate. The entire series is made available by request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. We here at Anchored in Jesus would like to invite you to come and be our guest this Sunday at Bethany Baptist Church. Service starts at 10:30. For directions or further details, not only pertaining to our Sunday morning worship service, but also the various other services at the Bethany Center each week, and training opportunities offered through the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, refer to bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.